We're doing the book of Shmuel, and we're up to what's called the third chapter. This group has voted for depth over covering ground. So, we have a very important verse here. The verse is introductory to the story. The verse says, the flame, the lamp of God, wasn't extinguished as Shmuel was lying by the Heichal near the Aron. And then we have the whole story that God calls out to Shmuel, and Shmuel hears it in Eli's voice, and he runs to Eli and says, "Here I am, you called me." And this happens once, and then twice, and then a third time, until the fourth time when he's going to figure out it's God calling him. But this is going to be Shmuel's first prophetic vision, and the description introducing the prophetic vision and the whole story leading up to the prophetic vision is, the lamp of God was not yet extinguished as Shmuel was lying there. What does that mean? So Chazal taught us that this verse, the lamp of God was not yet extinguished, is a description of Jewish history. It's a description of what's about to happen here, and it's a recurring theme in all of Jewish history. That before one lamp of God gets extinguished, God ensures there's another lamp that's been kindled. Eli is about to die, and that's what the verse is referring to when it says the lamp of God was not yet extinguished. It means Eli, who was our leader for all those years, was not yet extinguished. He didn't yet lose his leadership. He didn't yet pass away. And Shmuel is already beginning his prophecies, because the way Hashem leads the Jewish people is that before one sun sets, the other sun begins to rise. And the Talmud goes through different examples of how this is true, how Hashem always ensures that there are leaders for the Jewish people. So, over here, Hashem calls out to Shmuel, and he runs to Eli and says, "Here I am, you called me." And Eli says, "I didn't call you, go back and lie down." So, on a simple level, we would say, it's only the two of them in there. So if someone's calling him, he assumes it's Eli, so he runs to Eli. But Chazal have a different interpretation. Chazal tell us in the Medrash Rabbah in last week's Parsha, that when Hashem first appears to a person, Hashem doesn't want to scare them. And so when Hashem first appeared to Adam, he began with a question, "Ayeka, where are you, Adam?" And that's a form of small talk to keep things calm. When Hashem first appears to Moshe, the Medrash says Hashem appeared to him with his father's voice. When Hashem appeared in the burning bush, Moshe thought he heard his father calling. And that's why Hashem says, "Anochi Elokei Avicha," I'm the God of your father, because Moshe turned around and said, "Dad?" So God says, "No, it's not Dad, it's the God of Dad. Anochi Elokei Avicha." So Moshe thought, "Oh, great. My father's like the patriarchs. God is called the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Now I see he's also the God of Amram." God says, "Nope. Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. I'm the God of Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Zeshemi, that's my name. You said Dad. I said the God of Dad. But I'm not, that's not, I don't get that title." But how did it all begin? Because Hashem appeared in the voice of Amram. And the same thing happens here. Shmuel hears a prophetic voice, and Hashem purposely doesn't scare him. Imagine a person alone in a room, suddenly God appears and says, "Shmuel." You know, he'd go out of his mind. So Hashem appears with the voice of the fatherly figure in his life, which was Eli. And so Shmuel hears that and runs out and says, "Here I am." Eli says, "I didn't call you, go back, lie down." Okay. Shmuel lies down. He hears Eli's voice a second time. "Shmuel." So he goes back to Eli. Notice that the first time he ran to Eli. The second time he's already walking. He goes to Eli and he says, "I'm here, you called me." And Eli says, "I didn't call you, go back, lie down." Hashem calls him a third time. And again, he goes up and goes to Eli and says, "Here I am, because you called me." And Eli understood that it was Hashem calling him. So Eli tells him, go lie down, and if you get called again, so then answer, speak Hashem, for your servant is listening. Now you could imagine that Shmuel went back to bed, he wasn't falling asleep now, right? So he lies in bed, and again Hashem calls out, Shmuel, Shmuel. Shmuel's not convinced. Shmuel thinks, maybe someone's playing a prank behind the curtains. So Shmuel says, speak, for your servant is listening. He doesn't say, speak Hashem. He's gauging his bets. So Hashem tells Shmuel, I'm going to do something in Israel that whoever hears it will lose both his ears. His ears will, so to speak, peel or will ring from what I'm about to do. I'm going to uphold what I said, the curse on the house of Eli, and I'm going to finish it. And I'm going to show him that I'm punishing his house for eternity. The sin that he knew his children were blaspheming and he didn't rebuke them enough. And that's why I swear that the sin of his house will never be atoned for with a sacrifice. And our sages say that within the curse was a blessing. Hashem said, the sin will never be atoned for with a sacrifice, indicating that it's only with sacrifices they couldn't atone for their sins. But there are other ways to atone for a sin, through prayer, through kindness, through Torah. It's logical that if their sins revolved around the sacrifices, then they can't use the very thing they were sinning with to gain atonement. They've destroyed that. They have to find a different venue to return. So Hashem says, through sacrifices, they won't be able to atone for their sins. Yes?
Is this also an indication that the Mishkan is going to be destroyed and that sacrifices will not even be able to be brought? Because that's what followed?
That's a nice thought. I'm unaware of that. The Gemara says, Abaye and Rava were both Kohanim and both descendants of Eli. And Abaye dealt in Torah, and he did kindness, but not to the degree that Rava did. So Abaye outlived the curse, and Rava outlived the curse by more, because Rava did Torah and kindness. So Torah and kindness is a winning combination.
So back to when God is speaking to Moshe, and it kind of relates to this also. So he's using his father's voice, and afterwards, does he change the voice, or is it constantly staying as his father's voice? Same with Shmuel, is it constantly Eli's voice when he talks to God, or is it changed after he realizes it's God?
I don't have the source in front of me. As far as I recall, it changes. As far as I recall, it's only the beginning, so they wouldn't be scared.
So people who are prophets get their prophecy in the form of a voice?
Sometimes it's a voice. It's generally a vision.
And you're sure it's prophecy?
Correct. But we had a class introducing prophets where we discussed prophecy for one or two classes. If people want to do that again, there's a whole new group here by now. So remind me, Thursday night, we could focus on that for a half hour. An intro to prophecy. So Shmuel is very scared. He doesn't want to tell Eli the vision. And Eli calls Shmuel and he says, Shmuel, my son. Shmuel says, yes, and he's silent. So Eli knows he just got prophecy, and he says, what did God tell you? Don't hide it from me. Shmuel is hesitant, and he says, this should happen to you if you hide anything from me. And in those words, this should happen to you, there is an intrinsic curse which came true. Shmuel's own children also did not continue in his footsteps. Just as Eli's children veered from his path and were not fitting to continue in being Kohanim Gdolim, so too Shmuel's children veered from his path and were not fitting to be judges of the people of Israel. So Shmuel tells him, and Eli accepts it. He says, Hashem is the one, he is the merciful one, and he's going to do what's good in his eyes. Shmuel grows up and he's a prophet, and everyone knows that he is a trusted prophet. And after he receives prophecy, many other people also receive prophecy. And this is a concept we find in spiritual ideas, where you have spiritual things. So usually it's like a dam opening. Once one person breaks forth, so then other people can get it too. Yes?
How can a good person like curse a prophet? Please tell me you're such a highly exalted person that God tells you what he's gonna speak to you. This is the pinnacle of not necessarily this is the highest level of human achievement. Not that there aren't levels within that concept beyond it, but and I'm gonna curse you if you don't like this. Seems very.
So I think wow. I was alluding when I said intrinsic to it was a curse. What I meant to allude to was a concept we discussed 2 months ago, that sometimes people say things and overtly it's not a curse, but within what's said is a little bit of an intention of a curse. Avimelech gives Rebekah all the gifts, and he says, this should cover your eyes. Where on the one end, what he's saying is, this should cover your eyes, that it should be a covering for the shame you've endured. It should be a covering, so to speak, for your eyes, for what you've had to witness, for what you've had to endure. But deep down inside, he also meant, you should choke on it. It should cover your eyes on the level of... it should cover your eyes. You should be covered by it. You should be blinded by it. So he says it overtly on a level, on a way that's a nice way. But there was some element of meanness to what he was saying also, and that element also came true. That was considered a curse that came true. So over here also, the saying, this should happen to you, wasn't an overt curse. It was more of a... something that was said innocently, but there was a little bit of that inkling of being upset that what you're fearing now, what you should fearing to tell me, should happen to you if you don't tell me. But it wasn't what was overtly said. That's what I meant when I said intrinsic to what was said was also a curse. It's not that he came and said, listen here, young man, you should be cursed if you don't tell me. I think not. I think it's a little different. And if Shmuel
did tell him.
So
you should be cursed, this should happen to you if you don't tell me. I did tell you.
That's another concept we find in Chazal, that a curse that's on a condition, even if the condition isn't fulfilled, the curse is fulfilled. We find that in many places in Tanakh. That a person says, if I don't do it, then such and such should happen. And even though he does do it, such and such still happens. And that's a concept which we've discussed numerous times, and we'll see again in the Ramban in Torat Hashem Tmima. And if you're curious about it, you could bring it up Thursday night, Bezachin.